Okay, let's be seated. Well, you know, one of the good things about leadership is to see if the church can run without you. That's good leadership. And this church is running very well without me. Hallelujah. And Clive's doing a great job and all those who are supporting him. Amen. Now we've all patted each other on the back. Let's get on with the word. How many of you believe that at the end of the word this morning, we could believe the Spirit of God to move upon every one of us? Is that every hand up? Praise God. Because I believe that's what God wants. He wants us to anticipate that every time we come and meet together, we won't just listen to the word, but the Spirit of God will move upon us. And the Spirit of God will do things in people's lives. So the Word and the Spirit are moving together. We've got a ringing going on up here, if you can deal with that. Thank you. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus. In revival, there's always tremendous emphasis on the blood. I want you to turn, first of all, to John chapter 1. Verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, behold, see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Look and see God's Lamb. This is the first thing that is spoken about Jesus once his ministry begins here on earth. The first thing, the first revelation that God wants to give about his son is that he is God's Lamb. Now we'll see why in a little while. But if you turn on to Revelation chapter 5, there we see in verse 6 as John is being given this wonderful revelation of what heaven is like and what is happening there. It says in verse 6 of chapter 5, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders." So this lamb that was God's sacrifice, the sacrifice that he provided, is now the lamb that is in the center of the throne, the object of worship, of praise, of adoration. Now, sacrifice is all about blood. And of course, to the people that were listening to Jesus preach when he was here on earth, they were all very familiar with the whole principle of sacrifice. To us, that's not a very familiar concept. But the thought behind sacrifice is this: that in order to receive from God, a life needed to be given to God. And blood is always signifies life. As you know, if you cut a main artery, in just a few minutes, you will bleed to death. You cannot live without blood. So blood signifies life. Now, if you read the epistle to the Hebrews, it's all about sacrifice and the contrast between the Old Testament sacrifice and the New Testament. Now, I'm not going to give you a long lecture on Old Testament sacrifice, but there's just a couple of things that we need to understand so that we can see why Jesus is God's Lamb. The idea of the high priest was that on the Day of Atonement, just once a year, he was allowed to approach the throne of God. Now, we've got this chair here to signify the throne of God. It doesn't much look like a throne, but then nothing that we could ever produce could look like the throne of God. So we would all just have to use our imagination. Now, the throne of God was so holy. It was called, of course, in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies, but this was really the throne of God present among his people. And it was such a holy place that it was thought that people did not deserve to enter into the presence of God before his throne. It was too holy to do that. But once a year, on the Day of Atonement, and the word atonement means to be made one with God. So on that day, but only on that day, the high priest was allowed to enter this inner sanctuary, this Holy of Holies, this throne room of God, but he had to carry an offering of blood. Now, it was only the blood of animals. But what he did is there he humbled himself before the throne and he prayed for God's forgiveness of his own sins and the sins of the whole nation. So that was the day in which the Jews believed that God gave that forgiveness to the nation. And all the sins of the people were covered by that offering of blood. Now, of course, the blood of animals cannot take away sin. But it was an offering, if you like, that was made to God to pray that he would forgive. And it had to be repeated every year. And of course, the high priest who entered into the throne room of God was just as sinful as all the others for whom he was praying. Now, God gave the law, and God commanded the whole sacrificial system. So God was teaching his people some important principles. He didn't just sort of do away with all that. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Now, he was going to replace that sacrificial system with a new sacrifice. But just remember, the sacrificial system had been given by God. The whole high priestly mantle was something that was treated as very holy among the people. And that blood that was offered to God for the sins of the people, it was also sprinkled on everything, on the people, on all the articles and the utensils that were used in worship. Everything was sanctified or consecrated or made holy by blood. That was the significance of blood. So when Jesus came, everybody that heard John speak this word about him, look and see, here's God's lamb, here's God's sacrifice, that would have been a dynamic statement. Wait a minute. We make sacrifices to God. We pray and we sprinkle blood, praying that God would cleanse us. But this is a new idea altogether, that God provides his own sacrifice. And so what Hebrews teaches us about Jesus is two things. He becomes our great high priest, but he also becomes the sacrifice that the great high priest offers. So let's just deal with the high priest thing for a moment. There's no time to go into this in any detail. But you see, what the scriptures teach us is that Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies, not in the temple, but in heaven. That he has now gone before the very throne of God, not in a human physical temple, but in heaven with the offering of blood for the sins of the whole world. But it's not the blood of animals, it's his own blood. So he is the high priest who made the offering, But the blood that was offered was also his own blood. So let's talk about the blood of Jesus. Now, the blood of Jesus was the blood that flowed through his body when he was on earth. It was real blood. It was red, like your blood. And that blood gave life to Jesus' mortal body. He could not have been alive humanly without that blood. Now, if this blood was going to be effective in actually fulfilling what God intended, the blood had to come from a perfect animal. In Jesus' case, a perfect human being. You see, all the animals that were used in sacrifice had to be animals without any blemish. Why? Because it was thought if there was any blemish in the animal, that would affect the blood. It had to be pure blood. It had to be holy blood. So, Jesus, walking around on earth, had to be pure and holy and sinless in every way. Otherwise, he couldn't be the sacrifice. If there was just a blemish in Jesus, he could not become the sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. Now think about that. He could not even have one wrong thought. Not even just one wrong thought. Why? Because God knows our thoughts from afar. One wrong thought and there would be no salvation for anybody. Not just one wrong action, one wrong thought would have contaminated the blood, would have contaminated Jesus, and the offering of blood would not have been sufficient to take away sin. So we see Jesus walking around in total obedience to the will of the Father. Because one act of disobedience would have made the blood impure. We see that although he was persecuted and reviled and treated abominably, he always responded with love, with forgiveness, with compassion and mercy. Why? Because the blood must not be contaminated. The sacrifice had to be a pure, holy, perfect sacrifice. There could be no blemish in Jesus. He was, the scripture says, tempted in every way just as we are, but yet never with any sin. The sacrifice had to be perfect. Now, the scripture says that all those that are born again have been sprinkled with his blood. Just as in the old covenant, to consecrate any body or anything, they were sprinkled with blood, but just the blood of animals. Now we have been sprinkled with that perfect blood. Now, what on earth does that mean? Because, you know, I don't look at you and see red stains all over you. So we're talking about a spiritual reality here. But let's see what it means in practice. What did Jesus do? Well, he lived that life perfectly. And he came to the time of the cross where a number of important things happened that affected the blood. By his stripes, we are healed. We all know that scripture. But why are we healed? Because those stripes, those 39 stripes, would have broken the skin of Jesus and released the blood. There was a beginning of the flowing of the blood of Jesus. And then, when he was nailed to the cross, the blood begins to flow from the wounds of Jesus. The sacrifice is being made. His throat wasn't slit because he had to die a criminal's death, because he was dying on behalf of every one of us. We're all criminals in the sight of God because we've all sinned. We all deserve punishment, but praise God, we're not going to go to prison or be punished because of the sacrifice that has been made for us. But as those nails were driven in, the blood was being released. And even after Jesus had died, the soldier that thrust his spear into the side of Jesus, outflowed blood and water. The blood of the sacrifice was being released. Now, we know that Jesus rose from the dead. And you remember when he appeared, first of all, to Mary Magdalene, he said to her, "Don't cling to me because I have not yet risen to the Father." Something still had to happen in order for people really to be set free. Jesus could appear to his disciples in order to prove not only that there had been victory on the cross, but we'll come to that in a moment, but that he had overcome death. He had overcome the greatest enemy that people have, death. He had made it possible for people to receive eternal life. Are you all with me? Okay. So, he appeared to Mary and said, "But don't cling to me." Now, he appeared to the disciples, but he still did not pour upon them the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because still something else had to happen. Thomas wasn't with him when he first appeared to the disciples. And he said, "Well, unless I see him for myself, I'm not going to believe. I want to be able to touch his wounds and put my hand into his side." So it must have been quite a gash. They'd all would have witnessed what had happened to Jesus. So a week or so later, Jesus appeared again when Thomas was with them. And he said, "Come on then. Touch my wounds, put your hand into my side, don't disbelieve anymore." Now, of course, there was no flow of blood at that moment, but what Jesus was demonstrating is that his risen body was the same body that went to the cross. Now, he explained earlier in his ministry that the Holy Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. So what had to happen before the Spirit could be given and before the purity, the holiness, the life, the healing, the victory that Jesus had won on the cross, what had to happen before all that could take place? Jesus had to ascend. Now, that wasn't just, "Woo, look." Nobody's ever done that before. I mean, it was a highly significant thing because what Jesus was doing was taking that sacrifice now into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he was presenting the blood to the Father on the throne. So now God's people could be made holy. Now the Holy Spirit could be poured out. Now, what the scripture teaches us is this, that when Jesus ascended to heaven and presented the blood, he presented to the Father all those who would be washed by the blood. That in that act, you see, he had left the time zone and gone into eternity. So let me put it to you this way. When he ascended, you were ascending with him. And when he presented the blood to the Father, he presented you as someone who is washed in the blood. Everybody should have said hallelujah at that point. So therefore, you see, Paul speaks about God seeing us as believers seated in heavenly places. Why? Because we've already been presented to the Father through that spotless sacrifice. The writer to Hebrews says that we have been made holy by the one who made us holy, and we have been made perfect forever. So he was offering us to the Father really as a perfected, completed work. Hallelujah. Look, I'm happy about this. There's nobody else happy about this. I mean, this is amazing. Now, what does this mean as far as the blood is concerned? Well, for us to become that offering that is made perfect, a whole series of things had to happen. But they all happen because of the blood. First of all, as we saw even with the high priest on the Day of Atonement, the blood must signify forgiveness. So Jesus comes and offers to the Father the sacrifice of blood that says, forgive them. But now he is offering the sacrifice of a human being and a perfect, sinless, pure human being. Pure blood, human blood, not animals. So all humans that are washed by that blood are forgiven. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, sin makes people totally unacceptable before God. So as he takes that blood and offers it, it's not only for the forgiveness of people, but for their full acceptance. Jesus, you know it says that Jesus is interceding for us in heaven. That doesn't mean he's praying for you. It doesn't mean he's got a prayer list and you know, your name is on the prayer list. It doesn't mean that. It means he intercedes with his blood. You see, this is the throne of God. It's the throne of glory, but it's also the throne of judgment. So Jesus is saying, for all those that are covered by this blood, that are sprinkled by this blood, that are washed by this blood, Father, no judgment and condemnation, but forgiveness and acceptance. Hallelujah. So, our acceptance isn't in anything that we could ever do. Our acceptance is in what he has done. So the scripture says we are accepted in the beloved Son. Hallelujah. So that blood is there for our total forgiveness and our acceptance. But what was God's purpose for his people? That he should have a holy people. You see, even under the old covenant, God's command was, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be a people that are set apart for my purposes. pure and holy in my sight. Now, if you've ever tried to live a holy life, you know that the one thing that is absolutely certain, you failed. None of us can make ourselves holy. None of us can actually live a holy life in our own strength. So, as Jesus presents this blood, not only are we forgiven, not only are we made accepted, but we are made holy. So all who are sprinkled by the blood are consecrated to God. They no longer belong to themselves, which is why it says in the book of Revelation that he purchased men for God with his blood. So you cannot belong to yourself and be saved. It's totally impossible. If you're saved, you don't belong to yourself. If you belong to yourself, then you're not saved. Because to be saved is to be consecrated, is to be given over, is to be handed over, is to be set apart by God and for God. So what Jesus is saying is, here, Lord, in my blood are all the people that are not only forgiven, not only accepted, but they're consecrated now as your people for all eternity. Yes. That's the only reason why you have eternal life, because you're consecrated to God. You're set apart, you're made holy, you belong to Him. Yes. Hallelujah. So, you have been given a righteousness that comes from God. There is no righteousness of our own. None of us can claim anything from God because of what we have done. Self-righteousness is as filthy rags. Praying and saying, oh God, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Now surely you would do that. God says, no deal. That's self-righteousness. The only way that you can receive from me is through my righteousness. So now, Paul says, a new righteousness has come from God, which is by faith. It's believing what he has done. So I am forgiven. I am accepted. I am made holy. I am made righteous. All because of the blood. And we can go on and on. Because you see, in that blood, everything that God needs to do in my life is accomplished. What that blood, when it was flowing through the veins of Jesus, accomplished, can now accomplish in our lives. So Jesus, through his purity, through his holiness, through his righteousness, resisted all temptation. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. So in that blood is your victory over sin. Yes. And your victory over temptation. You never have to yield to temptation because you are sprinkled with the blood. Amen. Now, of course, if you don't call upon the blood, if you don't call upon God, you will sin, you will yield to temptation, you will fail, you will fall when you don't need to. But God has supplied in that blood the total victory over all sin, over all temptation, over all unrighteousness, and over all unholiness and all ungodliness. Now listen, it's not just the victory that enables us to be forgiven when we've gone wrong. It's the victory that enables us to resist going wrong. It's the victory that enables us to walk in holiness, in godliness, and righteousness, which is God's purpose. If you don't want that as your purpose, give up the Christian faith and never expect to go to heaven. Because heaven is for the holy, the righteous, and the godly. We know we can't get there by our own strength, but this is what we are to live on earth. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we, in the power of the blood, are able to live that life. Because we can resist the temptation. We can resist sin. We know that in that blood that Jesus was shed on, that Jesus shed on the cross, he overcame Satan and all the powers of darkness. So in that blood, we have the victory. We have the authority over the devil and all his works because we are sprinkled with the blood. We can say to the enemy, don't you dare come anywhere near me. Just look at the blood. So the blood heals, but the blood also keeps us free from all kinds of things that the enemy would want to put upon us. But of course, we need to walk in the faith of the protection of that blood. I wonder how often you call upon the blood for your protection. I'm sure you call upon the blood for your forgiveness and perhaps for your healing. But the blood is also a shield of God's protection over our lives. So, there is total victory in the blood. In fact, there is no victory without the blood. Because, you know, we talk about the victory of the cross, but the victory of the cross is the victory of the blood. That's what the cross is all about. The shedding of the perfect blood on behalf of all who are imperfect. So we have been set free. Now, we can say, well, you know, there's all kinds of pressures. But those pressures are pressures on the flesh. They're pressures for you to do what you want rather than to do what God wants. And we like to set our own standards, don't we? We like to think, oh, well, this doesn't really matter and that doesn't matter and a little bit of sin here and a little bit of disobedience there. I mean, nobody is perfect. You see, that's the kind of attitude, isn't it, very often? But actually, we should be saying, no, wait a minute, we are all perfect in Christ, therefore, nothing imperfect belongs to our lives. Shall we try that one again? I said, we're all perfect in Christ, so we need to see ourselves as made perfect and therefore called to live in the perfection. This is why the scripture says, aim for perfection. It's there in the Bible, in the New Testament. Aim for perfection. Why? Because that is what you have in Christ. If you don't aim for perfection, what are you going to aim for? Imperfection. Well, you'll certainly hit that all right. But you see, Jesus has already come before the throne, and he is now in the center of that throne, reigning, because he has offered the blood that has made you perfect forever, amen, has consecrated you to him. Now, when we understand all this, certain things should take place within our hearts as a result. First of all, our faith should be encouraged. Why? Because Jesus Christ has done for us everything that enables us to walk in victory. So, supposing you're sick and you need healing, where is your healing? It's in the blood. So, if your body needs to be healed, what do you need to do? Apply the blood. When you need forgiveness, what do? You apply the blood. You say, Lord, wash me from my sins. Meaning, wash me not with water, but wash me with your blood that was sacrificed for my forgiveness. Well, your healing is in the blood. Your deliverance is in the blood. Your freedom is in the blood. Your victory is in the blood. Your power is in the blood. Your authority is there in the blood. Everything that you need in your life has been accomplished through the shedding of that blood. Right, now, one more thing we've got to get hold of. Jesus enters into heaven as our great high priest with that sacrifice of his own blood. And now, he and the Father send forth the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the relationship between the blood and the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that was in Jesus when he kept his blood pure. It's the Spirit that was in him when he was tempted. It's the Spirit that was in him when he was obedient. It was the Spirit that was in him when he loved. It was the Spirit that was in him when he had compassion. It's the Spirit that was in him when he healed. It's the Spirit that was in him when he did the miraculous. It's the Spirit that was in him when he cast out demons. It's the Spirit that was in him when he overcame all the power of the enemy on the cross. So, in giving us the Holy Spirit, he has given us the victory. Amen. The Spirit of victory lives in you.
Amen.
The Spirit of truth who guides you into all the truth of what Jesus has done for you, his Spirit lives in you.
Yes.
So you can lay hold of the blood.
Yes.
Now Paul, he says right at the end of his life, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what lies ahead, I reach out to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I believe we all know that we have the Holy Spirit. But what we are not always very good at is laying hold of the inheritance that is ours in the blood. You know the scripture that we're co-heirs with Christ. Why are we co-heirs with him? Why? Because we share the same blood. We have the same Father. He is now our brother. We are literally blood brothers of Christ. We are of the same blood. So everything that that blood signifies is yours. And is your inheritance now for you to lay hold of now. And as you, by faith, lay hold of that inheritance, the Spirit that is given moves upon you. He moves in your heart. He moves in your life. He moves in your emotions. He moves in your relationships. He moves in your body. He moves in response to faith in the blood. So in any time of revival, two things are always certain. There is continual focus on the blood and a continual moving of the Holy Spirit as a result. Yes. So what does that say to us in practice? The deeper our repentance, not just a skimming over of, oh Lord, forgive me, but no, the deeper of our repentance, of our desire to live holy, righteous, godly lives, the deeper our repentance, the more freedom of the Holy Spirit moves upon our lives. We don't become legalistic members of a holiness movement. We become people that are free in the Holy Spirit of God. The more we exercise our faith and take hold of the inheritance that is ours in the blood, the more the power of the Holy Spirit impacts our life. So, let's just throw out a few suggestions before we pray. Perhaps you need healing this morning. Your healing is in the blood. Lay hold of the blood. It's your inheritance. It's not a trite phrase, by your stripes I'm healed, by your stripes I'm healed, by your stripes I'm healed. But why you are healed by those stripes? Because your healing is in the blood. Sprinkle me, Lord, with that blood today, because I believe that in that healing is my blood. The holiness is in that blood. Let me tell you something about living a holy life. You will never do it in your own strength, but only by living in a continuous impartation of holiness from God. How does that come about? It comes about through the blood and the Spirit working together. Our prayer, therefore, is, Lord, impart your holiness to me. I want to live in your holiness this week. I want to walk a godly path this week. I want to live in righteousness this week. Because that is freedom. And because Jesus loved righteousness and hated wickedness, the anointing of the oil of joy was upon him that raised him above his companions. He was the happiest man ever to live on earth because there was no sin in his life. There was no guilt. There was no fear. He was free. Didn't matter what they did to him, he was free. Didn't matter how they abused him and rejected him, he was free. And the same with the apostles. They could be thrown into prison after being scourged and beaten, whipped, and they were still singing hymns of praise to God because nothing could take away their freedom. So not just this morning because I'm speaking about it, but every day and every week when we come here, the victory of the blood is available to us. Every day when you pray, every week when we meet together, and every time we take hold of that blood and apply the blood, the Holy Spirit moves in our life in a fresh way. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just finish by warning you of one thing. If there's not much freedom of the Spirit at this time in your life, it's because you haven't been applying the blood. And that raises an interesting question. Why not? Perhaps through ignorance of some of the things I've been saying to you this morning. Or perhaps you don't want the blood to wash you because there's a sin in your life that you're very happy about at present. It's something that you want to do even though God doesn't want it. Well, that isn't victory. That's defeat. And you're defeating yourself. You're condemning yourself. You're bringing judgment upon yourself. God doesn't want that. how much better to know the complete victory of Jesus Christ in our lives, because that is what we want. Amen. Amen? Come on, let's all stand. I want you just to close your eyes. Because the Spirit of God wants to move upon us. The Spirit of God wants to impart to us. Now, the Holy Spirit, I don't know that He's limited by our time frames. But He does understand. That there isn't all day for us. Well, I mean, perhaps He doesn't. I don't know. But He could keep us here all day, couldn't He? If He wanted to. But I believe that the Holy Spirit in His mercy and grace will move upon us in the next few minutes. And He's going to impart things to people. Not just healing. He's going to impart holiness. He's going to impart love. He's going to impart faith. He's going to impart whatever is needed. Freedom in all kinds of different areas of our lives. I want you just right now, close your eyes and talk to Him. Don't just say prayers. I mean, talk to Him. Not something superficial or casual, but what is that deep need that is there in your life? What is that area of frustration? Perhaps a failure. Perhaps you think you've been experiencing defeat in a certain area. Well, come on, talk to Him about that. Let Him impart something to you this morning that is going to change that whole situation. Thank Him that you're going to go out of here different from what you are now. And it's the blood that makes the difference. Begin to thank Him now that the answer to that situation is in the blood. It's in the blood. And the blood has already been offered. The one who offered the blood is in the center of the throne, reigning in victory. Reigning in triumph. God's Lamb seated at the center of the throne. And you're in the Lamb, your blood brother with Him. Hallelujah. Now just pray that there will be a flow of that blood, a sprinkling of that blood upon your life this morning. Pray right now, Lord, sprinkle me afresh with that blood. Consecrate my life afresh. I set myself apart to live the life that You call me to live in holiness and righteousness and godliness, to live in love, to live in obedience, to live in freedom, Lord. Just lift your hands and pray, Lord, sprinkle me now. Sprinkle me with that blood. Sprinkle my life, Lord, in a fresh way. Let there be a fresh cleansing. Let there be a fresh wholeness, a fresh healing in my spirit, in my soul, in my body. Oh, Lord. You see, I can see the Spirit of God is moving upon people already. Just as You lay hold of the blood, the Spirit of God is moving right now. The Spirit of God is coming upon people all over this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. Karasito risatoba karazatoba karasitoba. Barazatoba. Thank Him that Your freedom is in the blood. Your victory is in the blood. Oh, your healing is in the blood. Your glory is in the blood. Hallelujah. Come on, speak out your thanksgiving and your praise. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the perfection of your blood. Thank you for the victory of your blood. Thank you for the purity of your blood. Thank you for the holiness of your blood. Thank you for the forgiveness in your blood. Thank you for the healing in your blood. Thank you for the sprinkling of your blood. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you that the blood is available to us every day of our lives. Thank you that we can live under the power and protection of that blood. Thank you that we live in the victory of that blood. Now, just as we finish, keep your eyes closed. You've seen this chair on the platform representing the throne. Jesus has already presented you to the Father. Hallelujah. At the day of judgment, he will present you back to the Father, spotless and blameless. That's what the scripture says. That's what he's working out in your life right now. But you know, to be in that place in Christ, for him to be your blood brother, means you share in his rule and his reign. So right now, thank him that through that blood and by the power of the Spirit, you are ruling and reigning in Christ today, this week, and for the rest of your life. Come on, give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.